Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in a two-time Super Bowl champion, won his first ring with the Colts, and then about 3 weeks ago got ring number two, being the quarterback coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's Clyde Christensen. Coach, appreciate the time. Congratulations.
Zach, great to be with you. Thank you. It was a heck of a lot of fun, I'll tell you.
And how has the celebration been the last 2 or 3 weeks?
It's ongoing. It has been a bunch of – it's been outstanding. And, you know, just doing it at home, I think, added something special to it. And just, you know, the town's buzzing still. And so, where you go, people are happy. And it was just – it was great for Tampa Bay. It was great to be in Tampa Bay to do it. And I think that's made it even more special, kind of more long-lasting.
How do you compare the experience in 2006 with Indy to what transpired a few weeks ago?
Boy, I don't know how I'd compare them. I just remember Indy. You know, we were a good football team. You had Brady and the Patriots, you know, hanging there, and you had to beat them. We got them at home finally in that championship game, and I do remember that. Probably the championship game win was almost as big as the Super Bowl win, just because of the rivalry and stuff. And this one was, I won't say surprising, but it was just like a gradual, we were a poor team early, and we just kind of became an average team in the middle of the thing. And then we started playing a little better toward the fourth quarter of this thing, and our schedule got better. And then we go on the run, and we really played pretty darn good football in the playoffs and win the three road games to get the home Super Bowl game. So it was just really that one was more gradual. That team in Indy, we were good from the beginning, but you still had to get over the hurdle of the Patriots, and so that was really special also.
Now when you reflect back on this season, and you were talking about the slow start, you guys were 7-5, you lose that game to Kansas City in week 12, how much was it now, the lack of a full off season, all that was working against you with COVID, that it was just a matter of time with this group now when you reflect on it?
Yeah, I think it was 100% that. But I think I went into the season going, hey, you know, the kind of lowering expectations, if you will. You always worry, you pick up Tom Brady in the off season, and he's not real used to bad football. And we were playing dead average to below average football that first half of the season. And I was just worried about him, but he was amazingly patient. And I kind of felt like, hey, the second half of the season, and all of a sudden we finished the third quarter of the season and we still weren't doing it. Now I'm going, hey, is it going to happen? Or are we going to have enough time? You know, is this still going to happen? And sure enough, right at the right time, you know, it did kick in. And of course, the New Orleans, Green Bay, Kansas City wins were probably the best football we played all season, and against great opponents, really good opponents. So, you know, but there were some times where I'm laying in bed going, gosh, you know, it's got to hit pretty quick now, or it's going to be over. So it was at the last second. I've said before that I really feel like we didn't peak yet. I tried to talk them into scheduling four more games, because I think we were four or five more games away from playing our best football. But no, after the parade down the river there, I don't think anyone has wanted to play any more football. So,
Clyde Christensen here with us, the QB coach for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So would you agree with that Brady assessment that probably next year you guys, I know you win a Super Bowl, so it's a tough standard to judge it by, but at least for the regular season, you'll probably be better, right?
I think we will. I really believe we will. And one funny story is, so the game ends and we win the Super Bowl, and, you know, everything starts flying around and da da da. And I don't end up seeing Tom. And so sure enough, the next morning, I get a FaceTime call at 8 a.m, which we were out late. And it's him, and I'm laying in bed, and I think he's laying in his bed. I got the grandkids with me, and he goes, gosh, I was just thinking this morning. He goes, I really, really think we're going to be much better next year. He said, I think next year we're going to be a good football team, you know. And so that's how his mind works, and he has the same thought as you. And I really think, you know, we will be better. There's no measuring, you know, to pick up a new quarterback, and especially a guy who's been in the same system 21 years, and bring them into a new system and take away all offseason, any in-person meetings, all those times where you just could get on the same page with them. You know, those were really restricted. And we were having meetings the off week. The off week hit kind of late for us. We were the last of the off weeks, and that thing hit late, and we were still grinding away. Hey, what can we be good at? What do you like? What don't you like? How do we, you know, maximize these things? And that off week was great for us. We got 2 good weeks of practice. We got some great discussion. I still say, I would tell you, and I think Tom would echo it, that, you know, I went into the Super Bowl off week there, that first week of the Super Bowl 2 week period, and saying, hey, we got a chance to still get better. Like, we're improving. We need practices. You know, the more practices we can get, the better. And that really was the truth of it, that we were just an ascending team that, you know, ascended far enough to get by those last few games, and I don't think we got all the way to the top of what we could have been.
My biggest takeaway from that story, 8 a.m. right after the Super Bowl, Brady's calling you, he's already thinking about the next one.
Yeah, and I said, would you just take a deep breath? I'm trying to survive the grandkids, and the after party with the grandkids was worse than more taxing than the party itself. So I was just trying to, but that's how his mind works, and that's what the great ones do. That's Peyton was 365 days a year. He was looking, how do we improve? How do we get better? How do I get better? How do I do things better? And this guy's the same way, that it never turns off, you know. And you know, he already had some things. I really think I can do this better. I can do this better. You know, man, I got better at this, and that, you know, but it's amazing at 43 years old, you know, that he still has that mentality. Young players could learn. I think that's why the young players here, you know, everyone should work with a Peyton or a Tom. Like, every player should get an opportunity to just see how they do business and how they work, because it really is amazing, and there's a message in there for everybody, you, me included, that just, How they work at their craft and that is amazing.
Clyde Christensen here with us. When it wasn't going well, people are always looking to try to create a storyline, and you had the Brady BA relationship, and people thought that was contentious. I've talked to Bruce before on this show, right after you guys punched a ticket to the Super Bowl, and he said, I kind of just laughed at all that stuff. What was the feel in the facility when you see all these reports out there that BA and Brady aren't getting along?
Yeah, I thought it was all fabricated, and you know, BA is going to call you every name in the book and then put his arm on, you know, that's just how he communicates. And I worked for him in 82 at Temple, so I knew. And Tom was amazing. Tom had no sensitivity. I mean, he has no diva to him. Like, you know, we play bad. Bruce is right. I stunk it up. You know, I got to play a lot better. And so I never saw any, you know. And we also just kind of just knew this thing was going to be a long march. You know, this was going to be a long march, and you know, so there was no, we didn't get distracted. We didn't have a bunch of drama. I think it was more in the media than it really was in the building, and you know, we just kept marching.
Did he ever open up to you about why he elected to leave New England?
Yes. The answer is yes, and the part that I'd share with you probably would be, you know, there was a part of him, the first time I met him, and I had never met him before we picked him up. So all those times we played him in Indy, I had never met him. And so he said, you know, one of the things that really looked fun and challenging to him was what Peyton did at Denver. Like, kind of the same scenario, right? Peyton leaves. Now, there was an injury involved with Peyton, but Peyton leaves Indy, where he had done magnificent things and turned a city into a football town, and goes to Denver and goes to 2 Super Bowls, you know. So I think there was something about that challenge – that hit him right. Hey, I'm going to go see if I can redo this again somewhere else. I do think that the challenge of that was a huge thing for him. And I think there was just, 21 years is a long time. I think maybe sometimes there's time for a change. I know that he's mentioned several times that he was impressed with it and that looked fun and challenging to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. My question then would be, you see what he just did at 43, and you guys didn't even think it was the best product as a team. He still wins a Super Bowl. He has 43 total touchdowns. How much longer can he play? Because he still looks really damn good there, Clyde.
Half an hour ago, I was cutting up our individual periods of the Super Bowl week, okay? Our individual periods, we're still doing our fundamentals and taking our drops and throwing footballs and working on footwork and stuff. Before I got on your show, I was telling a buddy and coach, and I go, it's amazing how hard he was working, right? In 21 years, that's week 21. You know, you say, hey, I'm going to opt out of individual. You know, I don't need individual anymore. But that's not the mentality. That sucker is working. He's working as hard as you can work and getting some stuff done and improving. And the second thing I tell you is that it was impressive. Like, his arm was alive. Like, you probably saw it in the Super Bowl, but his arm was alive. His feet were moving. He didn't miss a snap of practice or a game this year at 43 years of age. So I don't see an end in sight, and he sure doesn't act like there's an end in sight. I think he's so confident in his routine and physical, what he's doing physically. I think he's going to be around for a while. Who knows, but that's what I saw. And I just happened this evening to be watching the individual from Super Bowl week, and he worked like there was only one uniform left and three guys fighting to get the thing for the Super Bowl. Hey, I want to get suited up for this game. I'm going to try and earn a position. That's what he looked like, that rather than a guy who had already won a trillion of them already.
Clyde Christensen here with us. I'm a big Temple guy, being an alum. Now, I wasn't even a thought in the 80s, but you were on BA's staff. How did that connection form where you found yourself in North Broad Street coaching and working for Bruce Arians?
Yeah, special years. That shows you something about Bruce Arians. I think we got six or seven guys who were on that team, that staff back in 82. And he's just a loyal guy. He believes in his guys. We may or may not be better or as good a coach, but he wants his guys who he knows have his back, and they work together, and that's huge for him. So that was one of the things that was attractive to me about Tampa, just the comfortability level and even the guys who weren't on that Temple staff, Byron plays for him for X number of years at Pittsburgh. Everyone else had some tie. It was all folks that he knew. So that's been pretty good. We had great years on Broad Street there. You've been on that campus. And back then we fought for everything we could get and fielded some darn good teams with Paul Palmer. And those were great. We were all young. He came out Bear Bryant's staff and got the head coaching job at Temple. I'm glad we didn't kill anybody. We treated it like the Junction Boys. They laugh now that we tried to kill a couple of them off, but we went hard and coached hard, best we knew, really fun to see Bruce hoist the thing after all these years. That at 68 years of age, I think he was probably 26 or 7 when we went to Temple there, the youngest head coach in America at that time. So that's pretty darn special to see a guy just a ball coach who just keeps coaching ball and whatever, wherever, whoever, whenever, just coach and just keep doing your deal. Get a chance to be an NFL coach late in life and then win one at 68 is a pretty cool story.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about Byron Leftwich, because Bruce said he's going to be a superstar coach. What do you think would make Byron Leftwich a good head coach one day?
Yeah, I think he has unbelievable self-awareness. He has a little bit of Bruce's swag to him, but he has a confidence and there's a humility, but it's a confident humility that he goes into every game thinking you're going to score 45 points on it. He is a bright guy and gets along with players and they respond to him I'm with Bruce. I think he's going to be a heck of a head coach in this league. He gets around. He's like Bruce. He can get along with anyone. That is, you know, whether it's across racial lines or economic lines or to GMs and presidents and, you know, or the Joe fan in the stands or, you know, or to someone on the street. He just has a nice way of getting along with people. And he did a marvelous job. That was not an easy job this year. That's not an easy job to have a quarterback you can't meet with and you really can't, you know, get started with until opening day. It's hard to mesh that thing. I think everyone thinks that you get Tom Brady or you get Peyton Manning. And I used to always laugh when they say to me, you got the easiest job in the world because he just does everything. Well, yeah, not so fast on the easiest job in the world. Those guys are demanding, you know, and that is a tough job to merge everything together, to get him in their groove, and they, you know, to get the whole unit working together. And Byron did a great job with that this year.
Clyde Christensen, as a player, what do you think Jameis Winston still has in this league? What do you think he could still be as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think I'm hoping he gets a good opportunity this year. Maybe it'll be in New Orleans there. I think he's got a lot of football ahead of him, and I think he needs some stability, and hopefully he can stay in the same system with the same coaches. I think he's got a ton of ability. He's tough as nails, and he works his tail off. He works as hard as any guy I've ever coached. I really enjoyed him. I think he would say, and I would probably, you know, I got him, you know, I got a more mature guy by the time I got here. I know he had his moments early, but he has a deep desire to be a really good football player. And I think someone's going to get a good start and he's going to get another crack at starting. And I think he's going to play good football.
If you guys didn't get Tom Brady and you ran it back with Jameis, what type of team do you think you would have had this past year?
Yeah, I think he was, you know, I think he was coming on. He was doing, the good was really good. We hadn't, you know, last year, like I would tell you that I felt like I failed him because we didn't get the limit. We didn't get the interceptions limited. And it was a, you know, so I think it was still up in the air. He still had to fix those interceptions, you know, the turnovers, giving the ball up. And we didn't get that done. We hit 7-7 last year. And we had a chance with two winnable games, and we threw a couple picks. And so, whatever reason, I didn't get that done with him. But I think now, I think that's a good year. It sounds like talking with him, it's a good year just sitting watching Drew do it, who doesn't turn the ball over a bunch, and just to watch. I think that gives him a chance to just kind of sit back and gave him a year of sabbatical, if you will, to watch. How do I win games? How do I move the football? How do I protect the football? And he didn't have that. He came in here and was starting right from the get-go, and he, you know, had some injuries and stuff. So I don't know what it would have looked like. I think if we eliminated the interceptions, his good was really good. So,
well, Coach, hey, we're happy for you. Enjoy the offseason, and we'll see if this team could be even better in some capacity next year, as we were talking about. Thanks so much for doing this.
Zach, thanks for having me. Really a pleasure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.